Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you know who it is. It's the big guy with the big show, the Lord Nelson, that is. Yes, indeed, from the podcast Live and Loud with the Lord on the CMS Network with Five Royals Entertainment. And ladies and gentlemen, you see the handsome face over there. You see the guy. You see the beard. You see the mustache. You see him. He's over there. You see all of his greatness over there. But we're going to have a great time, man, and have a great conversation. But before we get into it, of course, I got to, you know, read off a little something about his greatness, if you don't mind, as I see it. So, ladies and gentlemen, my next guest is truly rock and roll with his powerful vocals and lyrics complementing great music with one hell of a stage presence. This young man has put in the work and it has paid off most definitely. Yo, he's blessed with amazing production, orchestration and musicianship. He has skillfully blended different genres to create his own unique and awesome sound. I mean, he really has his own sound, man. It is really, really cool. And you can tell that he enjoys being a musician. And his energy transference to the watchers and listeners is a beautiful high worth every single second of our valuable time. I am honored to have him chop it up with me. And without further ado, I welcome the incredibly talented Mark Daly to the Live and Loud with the Lord show. What's up, young man? What's up, bro?
How's it going? Thanks very much for having me. I love that intro. I feel like I can retire happy now.
As I say, man, it's all about you, my brother. And I'm very honored to have you here, man. Really, really, man. Just checking you out and seeing what you're doing, man. So the first question always is, where are you from, bro?
I'm from a place in called Cork in Ireland.
Ireland, Cork. That's me, Cork.
Yes, so, County Cork.
Yeah, so let me say this. I toured with some great individuals. I don't know if you ever heard of a band. I don't know if they're still together. They're not still together. It was a band called Black Swan. And my man Jagger and Keith was the lead singer and Mo played bass, man. Listen, toured with them for about a good month. Man, in Europe, and we had a great time, man. You know, they told me all about Ireland, man. You know, I asked them a million questions or whatever like that, but it was a real cool time, and they're like my brothers for life. So, yes, indeed.
You haven't got here yet, no?
No, I haven't, man. One of my other guys, Sean McMahon, I think they live in Dundalk. Is that how you say it?
Where is that?
Dublin? Dundalk?
Maybe that's Scotland, right?
No. It's maybe I'm saying.
Oh,
it wrong.
No, I know what you're saying. I thought you were saying Dunkirk. No, you're Dundalk.
Right.
Dundalk. Yes.
So that's in Ireland, right?
It sure is.
So they, you know, he's been over here a few times, my man Sean McMahon, and just amazing, man. Just these guys are just so talented. So to know how talented you are, there's a lot of talent in Ireland, man. So hey, listen, once again, it's great to have you here. So what's the best thing about being from where you're from?
Ireland's quite a creative place, you know. The weather is not great, which can lead to good songwriting, I suppose. It's like always raining, but like it's a really beautiful country.
Right.
And growing up, like, you know, we've got a big bar scene here. So when you're a kid, you get to see live music from a really, really early age. Mm-hmm. You could go into a pub and there'd be some guy with a guitar and a violin. And you're just exposed to it, like from creativity and art from a really early age. And that's one of my favorite things about Ireland.
Indeed, man. Just from what I can see, it's a beautiful place, man. And
we like to party like to visit a little bit.
Yeah. Now, well, I definitely want to visit, and I thought Sean would be getting married soon. So I thought that I was going to be over there so I could see this. But it's going to happen, man. I'm going to come over there and enjoy myself, man.
Well, now you've got a contact down in Cork as well. So yeah,
yes, indeed.
We'll
yes, indeed, man. Listen, I'm holding you to that, man. Serious business. Indeed.
Absolutely.
So what was Mark Daly like as a teen?
Like early teen, like what, 13, 14?
Whatever. Listen, I was going to ask you about your real early age, but yeah, as a teen, what were you doing? What was going on with you?
I suppose I played a lot of soccer. I love soccer. Okay. Hanging out, I suppose 13, 14, just the innocent times, just before 15, when you start going out and misbehaving and music took over. I was actually quite a quiet kind of, at that age, I was quite, I was about 15 when I started to come out of my shell a bit more and get into trouble. I moved to Spain when I was 16 then, and I moved to went to run a bar with my family and ended up just, again, constantly around music the whole time. So all the bars and venues in the area would have bands every night of the week. And I was like, that's what I want to do. So yeah. I was addicted from then on, and that was it.
Yeah, so what you just kind of answered the next question is like, when did you feel like music was your true calling? So was it when you were in Spain is when it really hit you?
Yeah, it did, because it suited my lifestyle as well. It was like one of those, I was going out partying and, you know, I was in that kind of scene anyway. So, right. And I've always loved music for as far back as I can remember.
I could tell.
But yeah, when I was out there, that really gave me the push to be in a band kind of scene and start a band out there. And just, yeah, there was no going back from then. I've got an addictive personality when it comes to when I get stuck into something, I have to see it through. So once I decided this is it, then that was it.
Awesome. So what was your very first band? And can you recall what it felt like to be in that band?
Yes. My first band really was The Kites. It was like a three-piece band, The Kites. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I was the bass player. I wasn't the singer. I didn't really know I could sing at that point. So I was like, I'll just, you know, bluff the bass. So yeah, my feelings at that time were, I can't believe I'm getting away with this, because I didn't know what I was doing. I was learning on the job.
Right.
And then I started a band called Voodoos afterwards, where I became the singer. And that's kind of when I was like, okay, I can actually somehow pull this off. And started writing music, and that was it.
Yeah, awesome. So what was that Voodoos experience like, though?
Amazing, because we were kind of the first band in the area to start writing original songs. Mm-hmm. So, and we started playing them at the gigs, and nobody was doing that. And we really started getting a name for that, and ended up getting spotted at one of the gigs out in Spain by Radiohead's manager, who was on holidays, and was just like, I love these songs. I love your band. I love the energy. And, you know, let's go to England and record an EP. And then, you know, at that point, we're all looking at each other saying, hey, we could actually make a career out of this. Mm-hmm. And it just went from like semi-professional to professional kind of overnight. And we went and made a great EP and then moved back to Ireland because like Spain was kind of a touristy area. So I think if we wanted to get our name out there and build a fan base, it was important to get home. So we did that and then ended up in America pretty soon after that.
Oh, really? So, let's go back to the Spain thing, if you don't mind. What part of Spain were you in?
It was Alicante is the region, I suppose. But the place I was in was Cabarroig, near a place called Torrevieja. Okay. And it's just like a strip. It's a proper strip of just of bars and restaurants and just madness. I don't know how I came out of there after 5 years with my life.
Well, I just know when I was with Stuck Mojo, we performed in Pamplona and in Madrid and Barcelona. And so I just remember, just great times. We had a great time out there. And
beautiful places.
Yeah, indeed. So
nice.
So here you are in Voodoos and you're doing your thing. You guys record this EP. And then all of a sudden, you're going solo. So what prompted you to go solo, and were your band members kind of salty with you because you went solo?
No, it was kind of it came to its natural conclusion, really, because we did a couple of tours in America as the Voodoos, and a couple of the guys met some American ladies and kind of just settled down there. You know, we went out as a 5-piece and came home as a 3-piece. So basically, yeah, that's just the way it was. And those we
women,
got home.
Man, those American women, man, goodness.
Danger, danger.
Danger.
So yeah, so we came home and I kind of was just reevaluating what I wanted to do.
Right.
And I decided, you know, I was just going to get stuck into the guitar. I wasn't much of a guitar player. In the Voodoos, I was just a singer. And then I kind of really set the time aside to really like work on my songwriting and lyrics and to really like, just like find what direction I wanted to go. So I did kind of a laid back record first, like a more kind of acoustic-y kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. And I just missed the rock. I just missed rocking out, missed right. the band, missed everything. So then decided to put together this Mark Daly and the Ravens project and bring the boys in and just get back to the rock and roll and have it. Right here, right now, where we are is the most excited I've ever been in all the really? Time I've been doing that.
Yeah, so yeah. kind of saying, so how fulfilling has it been being that solo artist? Meaning like, even though you have the Ravens there, I mean, it's still your name, bam, Mark Daly, it's about you. And, you know, you're kind of controlling all the things. So how does it feel to be in that, you know, in control like that of what you're doing?
I'm a bit of a control freak, so it kind of suits me. It's like, I suppose when I was in the Voodoos, it was like, you know, it was like being married to 4 other people, you know, it was like constantly, you know, everybody has dealing with everybody else's personalities.
Right, right.
And yeah, like with this project, like I do a lot of the writing on my own. Mm-hmm. And then we get together as a band and record mm-hmm. and tour together. And we just, all of us get on ridiculously well. And, you know, it's not like an everyday thing where we're all living under the same roof and that mm-hmm. pressure isn't there. And it's just nice. It's everything that's happening now that through the journey has felt like it's gone the way it was supposed to go.
No, beautiful, man. It's a beautiful thing. So let's talk about when the stars align. It's an yeah. awesome listen. And so what does this album mean to you?
That was my learning curve album, really. It was like, again, like I was saying, the first band, Learning on the Job, that was kind of learning on the job. I was creating ideas and recording them at the same time. Right. If you know, like the album kind of, to me, feels like it's like, you know, the songs didn't have time to mature or grow. Mm. It was like, it was just, I've written it, let's record it. And it was done really quickly. Gotcha. So it, like looking back, I say, I wish I gave it a bit more time and brought in a few more bits of like instrumentation, but it's just something that was supposed to happen. And
right.
learning under pressure is good, I think, you know, and finding that style. So, but there's a couple of tracks in that record I really love. Loved working with Kelly Gray produced it. He was fantastic. And, mm-hmm. you know, started to get like that darker aspect of music out of me, you know, like Addicted to the Throne is probably my favorite track mm-hmm. off that album.
Okay.
And it's kind of a dark kind of storyline song. And that was my first time toying with like a movie in my head as I was writing it, as opposed to just an everyday, you know, love song or typical, you know, I was starting to get creative and create characters and stuff for that. So that was a whole new type of songwriting. And for that reason, I love that album.
Indeed. No, it's a great body of work, man. There's no doubt about it. And it's all about, you know, maturation and growing. And it's just a part of your journey. Everything we do yeah. is a part of our journey, no matter how small or big, it's part of where exactly. we are. So that's just, you know, adding on to that foundation, building, you know, having a strong foundation for you to do what you're doing now, man. So nah, man, I take anything I've done and it's a part of me, you know, yeah. bad or good. And I don't really say things are bad. It's just a part of what's going on, you know, with me, man. So it's all love. Yeah. Yeah. So the Nothing to Lose EP is another great offering, no doubt, by you. And it's much more energetic, a much more energetic delivery. So, you know, I love the way you are riding the rhythms, you know, vocally. And you're definitely in a great pocket. And, you know, indeed, you really are. So I love that. So what was the inspiration for this EP?
Nothing to Lose was exactly what you said. It was all about energy mm-hmm. and passion and kind of proving a point kind of record, like as in like, I can do this. I can go back to this style of music. Wow. I can do it. You know, I worked with Sasha Paith from the band Avantasia on that. And he was mm-hmm. incredible. And we were just all energy. And I went to Germany to record that, and we're in his studio, and it was just energy, like coming out of the vocal booth, and like dripping in sweat and like out of breath. And I guess I was a little bit pissed off doing that kind of record in all the right ways.
Indeed.
And I'm really happy with how it turned out.
No, it turned out great, man. I'm telling you, just listening, as I'm listening to your catalog, and I'm like, okay, this was here. And then I was just like, woo, this is, and then, you know, just looking at everything, I was just like, okay, Mark's got it. He found that something, and it's a beautiful thing. Yes, indeed.
Nice. So, nice.
Drop Dead has such a cool groove, and the bass vibe in there is love, man. I love that. So another big sounding song with straight to the point lyrics. And
yeah.
So who or what inspired this song?
Again, it's continuing on from the Nothing to Lose EP, because it was pretty much the same recording session. So it's pretty much in the same vibe of the energy that pissed off the, you know, and I guess kind of pissed off at the industry as well, you know, just how difficult it is to get to progress, and, you know, there's just so many elements of it that you're just like, everybody is just that anger, you know, letting loose of all that anger. And Drop Dead was kind of that, one of those tunes for me.
Yeah. I didn't know if it was like, the reason why I asked that question, I didn't know if it was about, you know, somebody or, you know, I was just like, maybe
it does have elements of for sure.
Listen. For sure. I'm a lyricist. I write. So when I'm listening to lyrics, man, I'm listening to lyrics. So when it's coming up, I was like, I was like, who is he talking about? Who is he?
So, yeah.
You know, but then you said the industry, it could be that also. But I was just like, yeah, I'm kind of feeling it's somebody. But it's all love, though. It's all love.
Exactly. Exactly. No, it's definitely, I think when I'm songwriting, I have to get like a little bit more specific in my head of what I'm, you know, is. I'm not just writing to write a cool line. It is always something, you know, personally used in every song, I think.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I knew it. Kindred spirits, my brother. Yes, indeed. So,
absolutely.
So what do you prefer, singles or albums or EPs?
I do prefer albums. Mm-hmm. Just that way you get to tell your storyline from start to finish and arrange a song and have like a meaning. So the upcoming Devil's Arms thing is close. It's 8 tracks. So I'm calling it a record because, you know, I think it's close enough. And yeah, I prefer that. And we're getting a vinyl for the first time. So it's going to be vinyl. You know, I'm like, yes. And a bunch of tracks. The singles thing is cool. I think what we're doing with this record is, you know, releasing, I think it's 4 singles and then the full album. Okay. I really like that.
Yeah.
I really like that because it's, you know, you're getting the music out there and then you drop the record. And hopefully by the time we do drop the record, there's a lot of people looking forward to it.
Yeah. And you know, that's the old school, cool way of doing things. And I'm an older guy, so I understand it very clearly. And the reason why I ask is because, you know, even with the band that I'm in, Plastic Catastrophe, we have just looked at how the landscape of things is, and people are releasing so many singles because the attention span is so terrible now. But I know that in Europe, they still appreciate vinyl and CDs and things like that, because it was always great to tour in Europe. And I'm not saying they don't appreciate it here in the States, but Europe just has a certain vibe, a certain love for music that is just amazing. And I love it.
Funny, because you know, I'm like the grass is always greener, because we go over to America and we're like, I can't believe how many people buy CDs out here.
No, I hear you. Because there's so many people that wanted to come over here, and we're like, oh, we enjoy Europe. So it's just.
Oh yeah, I've met band. We were talking to a band in New York a few weeks ago when we were out there, and they were like, oh my god, like you live in Europe and you get to play like the UK and Ireland and stuff, and I'm like, dude, America's way better. It's like the market's way better. It's just one of those things where I do feel like our particular style of music goes down particularly well in America, as you know, there's not a big rock scene here.
Right. Okay. I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so
what is it about being on stage that excites your senses, that gets you going?
Everything, honestly, the nerves beforehand, the excitement, you know, writing a set list, you know, just everything. And then the alter ego of just going out there and letting loose. I was like, I mean, sometimes I'd be like a man possessed, you know, and it's just, and then I come backstage and I'm the quiet, shy guy again, you know. But I think it's really nice to let all that energy out. And, you know, I think I'm a calm person because I do get to, you know, write all my frustrations out and perform all my frustrations. Mm-hmm. So I'm like ridiculously happy 99% of the time because of it, I think.
Oh, man, listen. I got goosebumps because I feel the exact same way. That when you said that nervousness before going on, and it's just like, you know, the anticipation of what it's going to be. But the moment that music hits and I step one foot headed out there, everything's gone. I'm just like, well, just don't forget your lyrics. And you're just, you know, I'm on that right there. And it's just like, I go into being Lord Nelson, you know?
Exactly.
And that's the alter ego, you know? It's like, I'm with all my superpowers. And so, man, I agree. That's love. You said it all man.
Such a good feeling. I love it.
There's no high like that stage high. There's something, and then when everybody's singing your songs and they're into it and they're cheering and, man,
it's crazy. Even on the last tour, just looking at the crowd and seeing people wearing the t-shirts and singing along to the words, and I'm just like, what? Yeah, I was like, I'm in America right now. I was like, what is going on? It's amazing.
It is, man. Hey, listen, I love it. I love it. So I can tell that lyrics are important to you, because you are writing meaningful songs. And I always say the music gets your attention, but the lyrics keep it. So what is your writing process like?
Well, for this upcoming record, I feel like I've kind of dropped the riddles and the, you know, insecurities of lyrics, where, like, you know, I used to be like, oh, I'd be afraid somebody would think I'm talking about this, or this record is just open. Like, just, I was like, yeah. I mean, there's a song, Anna Call You Lie, which is a really deep personal song. And then there's a song, Brighter Days. Like, they're just like the next level of, I think, of songwriting for me. And I think as you get older, you just don't care as much, do you?
That's right. Listen, I know the old guy right here. Listen, you're right.
I'm just like, I don't really care what anyone like thinks, or you know, if someone's like, oh, I think this song is about that, whatever, I don't care anymore. Whereas like my younger days, I would have been like, God, I hope they don't think I'm talking about them, or I hope that, you know, that this doesn't mean this. And I think this whole record is just like really honest rock and roll with some deep, dark tunes thrown in as well.
Awesome. Listen, looking forward to it, my brother. I really am. Nice. I know it's going to be great. Just like you said, that energy that you have, man, is infectious, man. There's no doubt about it. So I'm looking forward to it. Yes, indeed. So when it comes to production, how easy or hard has it been? You talked about it a little bit, to give another producer the keys to the Mark Daly Ferrari. How's it letting them drive your car, man?
I love it. I love the watching the songs grow that way, you know. Uh-huh. We went in to do this record with, we only had 2 days pre-production. So boys, none of them had heard any songs really. And I just sat down with the acoustic guitar. I was like, this is, and we jammed them. And then Brian Virtue did this record, and he just came into the studio and was just a breath of fresh air from the first second, and just totally got it, you know, straight away. Just was like, I know where you're going, how to get you there. And I thought he got a really amazing job out of everybody, squeezed every bit of everything out of us creativity wise. And but it wasn't like an overpowering, like, this is how you need to do it. And like, you know, there was no drama. It was just like the creative juices were just flowing and everybody just enjoyed it. James Brown, the guitar player, he went off into his own world and everybody just let him do it. You know, he was going off in these crazy, amazing guitar solos. And we were just like, yeah, go for it. You know, there was no restrictions on anybody. There was no ideas that were, you know, thrown away. It was just like someone would say, oh, I've got a really cool idea for this part. And we just let it happen. And it either worked or it didn't. And I think that's why this record sounds like a band record, because of that. Whereas like the records before have kind of just been myself. And so this one's kind of the first one with the boys involved, and you can hear it in the energy and the, you know, the structures and everything.
But just the fact that, you know, you allowed it to be an organic thing. And when you say, you know, when you have the freedom to be you, so if it's a guitarist, you know, he's playing, and do you, bass player, do you, and this, everything just comes together. And man, it's it's a beautiful thing, man. It really is. And you can enjoy it more. And everybody has a part of it. So it feels good to them that, like, hey, this is my part that I brought to the table. And it works and it's lovely, man. So now I feel you on that, man. That's kind of the relationship I have with my brother Matt Acevedo. Same thing. He's the producer. He does the music and he lets me do the writing. And
nice.
And he writes also, but he lets me do the writing. And it's just like, man, it's just a beautiful thing, man. So I understand that's that amazing. Very clearly, man. This guy Mark Daly is that dude, ladies and gentlemen. That guy. Yeah. Yes,
indeed. The creative freedom is important to keep, isn't it? And we're lucky we've got a good record label who's not saying, you know, that song's too long or this one doesn't fit the same style as that one. You know, we got our rock and roll tunes out there, but then if we do like a really kind of dark, deep ballad, you know, it's no problem. And that's really nice just to have that freedom and that creativity.
It's good to kind of flip it up and have that also, you know, not just this, you know, and you can tell that boom, I can go here. You know, if I need to go here and I need to sing something to the ladies, I can do it. There's nothing to it. You sit up there, listen. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Daly sits up there with that acoustic guitar and he's on that stool and he's just, hello. So listen, I'm telling you, I've been watching. I've been peeping, man, no doubt about it. So you have great tension and release in your songs. They are big and bold and stadium ready, you know, for fans to sing along and feel your passion. So is this a formula for your success?
I think so. I think, and we really pushed on that with the couple of EPs, the Nothing to Lose, Drop Dead, and now the record. I think we found that style. Mm-hmm. You know, the storylines and the verses and the, you know, the choruses. There's nothing wrong with having a catchy chorus. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel with any of this music. It's just all feeling quite natural, you know, just like get the story out in the verses, get something in the choruses that people can sing along to. And it's, I love that. That's the stuff I listen out for when I'm listening to new music and stuff as well. So.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I always say if the song is hot, it's hot. It just doesn't matter. You know, I don't care what genre it is. If it's hot, it's hot, you know,
I'm
going to enjoy it, you know? So the Ravens. What do the Ravens bring to Mark Daly that you can't do without?
Well, we have a ridiculous, like we've been playing for a few years together now. Mm-hmm. So like touring and we just all know each other, which is really helpful. You know, we all know each other. We get along very well. And just musically, I think writing this record when we went to El Paso, Texas to Sonic Ranch to record that record. Mm-hmm. And those days that we were there, it was the best, some of the best days ever in music for me because we just all were on the same page. And I think they're ridiculously talented musicians, like all of them, like so good. And just what they brought to the record, what they bring to the table, the energy that they pour out every night on stage. It's like, it's amazing. So very lucky to have every one of them.
No doubt. So, well, let me ask you this. Let me dig into that a little bit deeper. So Ireland to Spain, Spain back to Ireland, Ireland to the States. Yeah. So how long have you been in the States now? And where are you in the States?
Well, I'm back in Ireland right now, but I'm just back from the US tour because we were just opening for Mr. Big. Mm-hmm, right. So, and I think I had 5 or 6 trips to the US last year. So we've been over and back and over and back.
Right.
So it kind of feels like a second home right now, but but most of the time, I suppose most of the time I'm here in Cork. But
okay, so your home base is still in Cork in Ireland. Okay, I got
it. Yeah, yeah.
So are the Ravens, are they from Ireland also, or are they from the States?
3 of us are Irish, mm-hmm. 1 from Scotland, and one from the US. The drummer's from Cincinnati. So we're from all over the place. Most of us met on tour, and then... I met James, the lead guitar player. It's kind of been myself and James for the last few years.
Okay.
Pretty much kind of built this thing. And I met him at a Battle of the Bands, you know, one of those typical stories, a Battle of the Bands in Cork. It was my band against his band in the final. And yeah, we just hit it off and ended up, I knew I was going to end up working. I saw him play on stage and I was like, I'm going to end up working with this guy. He's right. He's too good. I was like, I'm going to steal him somehow.
Well, listen, it's worked most definitely. Indeed. Well, okay. Now I'm going to get a little, not getting personal, but I was touched by this. So I'm going to speak about this. So
yeah,
Your World is a great song. And I applaud you for expressing yourself in such a special and meaningful way that is, you know, touched and helped so many, because I could see it in the video. I mean, I enjoyed the video, really. And so how has this incredible reception of this song, you know, made you feel?
Unbelievable, because that was kind of a song that I just wrote for myself. Mm. And I was like explaining, like, when my son was going through his diagnosis and for autism, and I was kind of explaining how I felt and from my side and wanting to help him. And I just kind of wrote really ridiculously from the heart on that one. And my wife was working, she came home from work and was like, I was like, do you want to hear this song I wrote for Noah? And then she was like, obviously bawling her eyes out crying. Yeah. And she was like, you have to release it. Now I was like, no way.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm not releasing that.
Yeah.
And she was like, you could help other people that are going through something very similar, you know, all families that could be able to relate to the lyrics and stuff like that. So we released it in Ireland and did like a charity single on it and did a big launch night. And it was really amazing. And ever since, I've been getting messages from people all over the world. It's crazy that we're like, that's exactly how I felt at that time.
Indeed.
It's exactly how I feel about my kid, and or, you know, it could be an aunt or an uncle or a cousin. It's like, it's unbelievable because this spectrum's so huge and everybody's interpreted it in their own way, you know. So that song, crazy, absolutely crazy. I'm so glad that I listened to my wife and just left myself vulnerable to share how I felt. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely an amazing song. And I know that there's a young lady I know that I went to school with. She's a little bit older than me, but she has a son, an autistic son. And so I can't wait to send her the video and just hey, check this out. This is really amazing. And I know she'll get it because she always talks about, you know, her son.
Yeah.
And there's a few other people that I know that have, you know, autistic children also. So, man, hey, no, wonderful. Great job. I applaud
Thank you very much,
man. That's really good. So
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So you have great videos for your songs, and you just dropped your latest "I Want to Be More" for your upcoming album, Devil's Arms. So will this be the vibe for the entire album?
No. It's kind of a roller coaster. Okay. There's up and down. There's bright, there's dark, there's, you know, there's everything in there, which is really cool. Music video wise, we've shot a couple of more already. So we've actually got the next three shot already. And the next one is actually out in a couple of weeks. And that one I collaborated with Emily Armstrong from Dead Sarah, one of my favorite bands out in LA.
Yeah,
and couldn't believe it when she was coming into the studio to sing on the track. I was like, oh my God. Because all my friends know it as well, because when I announced that we were collaborating on this track, all my friends were like, you've been banging on about this band for 10 years. Like, and now you're doing a track. I was like, yep.
Yeah,
I was like, that's what happens when you don't give up and you're stubborn.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we shot a video for that, and that one's coming out in a couple of weeks. The best videos are yet to come, actually. I think two are our best ever.
Well, you always have great videos, and who's ever shooting them is an amazing thing. Now, so you being the control freak that you said in a little bit, you know, how is it with the treatments? Do you have any say-so in the treatments, or do you just allow the person who's doing it to do what they do?
I allow them to do what they do. Okay. It's like, yeah, I treat it like I would if I was writing a song, if loads of people were telling me how to write it or whatever. I kind of always say, like, in early emails and stuff with I was just like, you just get creative. And I know they love hearing that as well. It's like,
of course.
Yeah, there's not been, like, I might have a rough idea I'll throw out there, but then if they're like, I have a completely different idea that I think would be really cool, we usually just end up going doing what that person wants to do, because, yeah, hey, I
feel
creative.
The same way. I really do. It's just like, do your thing. That's what you're here for. You know, do your thing. You know, if you have something in your mind, you know, of what's going, well, let's do it. You know, I'm open.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I always say I'm easy breezy, man. Let's just handle business. Let's have a good time and let's do it.
Exactly. And we just worked with Tom Flynn out in New York on this last cut, the I Want to Be More video, and the next two that are coming. He shot all three and was just ultimate pro. You know, just he does it all the time. He does it for big bands. You know, he's just a professional. And I was like, I'm just trusting this guy, and I'm switching my brain off. Whatever he tells me to do performance wise, I'm just going to do it and just listen. And he's just a pro, and he had complete creative control, and it was great. The team obviously had suggestions and threw them in for, you know, this would be cool, that would be cool. And, and it just worked great. Yes, I'm really excited about the next two videos on the way.
Awesome. So your record label, what's your record label called again? One
Opportunity Records.
One Opportunity Records. So how has it been being with them? Now, before you were with them, were you just independent? Or were you were just an independent? I thought you weren't with another label, just independent. Okay.
Just independent, yeah.
So how has it been, you know, being that independent, and I know what that is, to be with this label, and how have they, you know, what have they done for you?
It's just been amazing. You know, you hear a lot of bands being like, I don't want a label. You know, I can do it myself. They just been amazing from the get-go, just like everything, like every aspect, you know, just on the same page. Like there's no idea, you know, that they won't listen to and won't, you know, go for, and they're just constantly pushing, pushing and and really passionate about the same kind of passion that I have about the music. I met at a show in Ireland, and it was like, it was the live performance for them that they wanted to sign me.
Yeah.
And even like last summer, there was a songwriting camp in New York, and I was like, it was run by Blue October, who I'm a big fan of. And I was like, I would love to go on that. And they're like, done. You know, it's like, if you think it would be good for your career and for songwriting, like just to go, those kind of things that were like, we want you to get to the next level. We want the best for you.
Yeah.
And that with the passion and the excitement, Mike came on tour with us on the Mr. Big Tour and drove every single mile of the entire tour.
Yeah.
He sold merch every night. just got stuck in and did everything, you know, and it was amazing. And just having that passion along with the band's passion, along with my own passion, it's like everybody's on the same page. And I think that's why it's been so exciting.
Yeah, everybody's in unison, and you see that they're really, you know, giving you that support and love, man. It can't be nothing better than that, man. That's
exactly.
Shout out to them, man. That's love, man. I love it. And so they are based in Ireland also, correct?
No, Ohio, in America.
Oh, so they're in Ohio. So,
yeah.
But they saw you in Ireland.
Yes. They were on a trip over to Ireland.
Got you.
With a company called Backstage Pass Travel. Mm-hmm. So they were over sightseeing and going to shows, and I was working on that Backstage Pass tour,
right?
And we played a show in Belfast, I think it was, and then Dublin, the two shows we did in Ireland, and then they were like, sold.
Hey, no, that's awesome, man. It really is. And so look, you said Belfast, and you know what it makes me think about it. I think about a lot of stuff when Belfast, and I actually asked the Irish guys. We sat down and we had a conversation, and I asked them about what goes on. And we sat there and had the greatest conversation about it, man. And I was like a little kid, man, like in a history class. And I was just like, man, this is amazing. I'm not going to go into that, but I'm just saying, when you said Belfast, it just made me think about it.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a lot of history there. And, we've had some great shows up there, really great shows.
Indeed. So what can we expect for the remainder of 2024?
Well, I'm back home from this tour, and we shot the music videos, and I'm back home getting a step ahead, and I'm writing the new next record right now. This one isn't even out yet, till the summer, and I'm already writing the one for the next year.
Yeah.
Just because we have a couple of months break, and then we'll head back out. I think mostly it's going to be the US. It's where we're going to be at. So we'll be back out there a couple of more times before the end of the year and releasing all the new music in between.
Man, it's, listen, awesome. You, once again, as I said in the opening, man, you're putting in the work and it's paying off. And you just got an amazing sound. Your band is tight and they're really, I mean, listen, they're really good. And so I know you're enjoying every single moment of just, you know, once again, having people that you get along with and everybody's on the same, you know, the same book, same page, same words, same everything. There's nothing better than that, man. That's that truly is lovely, man. So here's a question I like to ask, because, you know, I want the honesty, and I want you to, like, you know, talk a little noise if you want to, but you know, I just want to know. So why is Mark Daly and the Ravens a must watch and see?
I think because what the energy would bring to a show, you know, we never go out there and just go through the motions. Right. It's always everything. We have a little pep talk before we go on, and we're like, all these people did not, you know, down to the details. Every night we'll say something more dramatic, you know. Yeah. But like, those people didn't get a babysitter to come here to watch us not do a proper gig, you know. And we'll say, like, every gig is going to be the biggest gig ever, you know, just like, we were so good last night, we have to do even better tonight. You know, all that kind of stuff. And I think our energy is a big thing. I think we've a good crowd interaction. And, you know, we seem to, like, the judge of all the live shows is the merch booth afterwards. And we get to meet everybody. It always blows my mind that there's a queue of people at the merch after we finish the show. Like, I'm like, what? Is this real life? And I love just meeting and chatting to everybody. I feel like we have a really good connection with everybody. So I think our raw and energetic is the way I've always described it, because raw, energetic, and kind of honest would be our live show.
Indeed. Well, there's nothing like when people get it. You know, I always enjoy going to the merch booth afterwards and chopping it up with the people, because I like talking with the people, you know.
Me too.
You know.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when you or I get to that point to where, you know, we can't talk to everybody, you know, because we toured with Volbeat, and even though they went to the merch booth, there was so many people there. You can't talk to everybody. But you want to let them know that you appreciate them. And that's a great thing. And that's one thing I always want everybody to know, whether it's this show or whether I'm doing music or whatever like that. I appreciate you. And the love you give me, I'm going to reciprocate that love. And I can see you doing the same thing. Once again, I can see your passion for this music, and it shows on stage. It shows in the music that you're creating, man. And it's just a beautiful thing. And I just want to truly thank you for coming on here and spending some of your precious and priceless time with me. It means a lot to me. I'm honored to have you here. I really mean every single word of that. So the last question that I have for you is, what was the last song that you listened to?
What was it?
Everybody always thinks.
I had a Spotify playlist on Shuffle today, so it could have been absolutely anything. I was rocking out to the new Kings of Leon song, Mustang.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love Kings of Leon. Indeed.
Me too.
Great
I'm looking forward to their new record. I think they're going back to a bit of rock and roll on this new record. So got you.
Well, listen, I always like to ask that question, because most of the time people are like, what did I listen to?
I think because we listen to so much music.
Right. Indeed.
Yeah.
It's just like you, man. My Spotify playlist, man, I've got so many different genres of music and stuff, and I always say it all the time. My wife and kids, they're just like, man, what is going on with this dude, man? This dude
right mine's here. The same. If anybody saw my, you know, that made for you playlist thing, they'd be like, this guy's insane.
I'm everywhere, man. I'm everywhere, because I just love it, man. I just love music, man. If it's just, once again, if it's hot, it's hot to me. That's just what it is.
Me too.
Well, my brother, I appreciate this. And so before we get out of here, the floor is yours. I want you to let the people know where they can, you know, get with you or hear you, or, and you can say whatever you want to say. You can talk about whatever you want. You want to talk about surfing? Do whatever you do. Just have a good time and speak your piece, man.
Well, thank you very much. I guess the best place really to discover more, if anybody wants to discover a bit more, is markdailyofficial.com, because that's kind of got everything from music links to bios to, you know, merch store to everything covered there. And kind of everything else will be kind of Facebook and Instagram under Mark Daly Music. And yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a couple of more US tours coming up this year. It'd be nice to meet some more new people and have another amazing time.
Indeed, man. Well, my brother, this has been very good for me, man. I've enjoyed your conversation. I've enjoyed the time. I hope you've had a good time too. And
absolutely. And listen, I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Man, anytime you want to come back. And listen, I always like to mention Shauna O'Donnell.
Oh, yes, Shauna. Yes.
I want to make sure I say Shauna is amazing. You know, love her, man. Every time I just say, man, just want to hug her, man. And she just brings the greatest, and she's out there doing her thing. And Shauna, thank you. One love.
We haven't met yet, but I'm looking forward to meeting her.
Yeah, on the next I'll be the same way. You know, I'm definitely looking forward to meeting her, man. So it's a beautiful thing, man. So once again, thank you. I really appreciate you. Enjoy the rest of your day. And once again, anytime you want to come with family, my brother.
When the album drops, I'll be back on to you.
Yeah. You want to talk about something, it's open, man. Bring the Ravens next time, man. Tell them all I will say hello, and it's all love, man. Yes, indeed.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Indeed. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you know who it is. It's the big guy with the big show, the Lord. Pause. Yeah. Nelson, that is indeed, from the Live and Loud with the Lord show on the CMS Network with Five Royals Entertainment, with this handsome young man. I'm a little bit older. He might be a little bit more handsome. Maybe. But he's got a great band. He is that dude. Mr. Mark Daly. Yes, indeed, man. Thank you so much, my brother. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, no doubt. In my heart.